In that reading that we heard from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 3, verse 12, he said, in one translation of the Bible anyway, I step out to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I step out to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Saul was converted when he was on the way to Damascus to arrest the Christians there. And he was suddenly confronted by a vision of Christ who asked him, "Why do you persecute me, Saul?" And he was overwhelmed by this vision. He was temporarily blinded, but his views about Christ were permanently changed. He knew now that Christ was a reality, and he gave up the rest of his life to serving Christ. Now Saul, in his blindness, was taken by his friends on to Damascus, where he remained for about 3 years. And then he made a brief trip to Jerusalem to meet Peter and the leaders of the church there, and to prove that his change of heart also had been genuine, because many Christians were believing that it was a trick so that he could get better information on them and get inside knowledge of them so that he could persecute Christians even more strictly. But then Paul returned to his hometown at Tarsus, in what today we would call Turkey, and he stayed there for about 14 years. So Paul's journeys didn't start immediately after his conversion, though we might get that impression at first from the Bible. There was quite an interval before he began his campaign of evangelizing. And it was at Tarsus that Saul began preaching the gospel. And as the city only had a small minority Christian population, he soon developed a mission also to the Gentile population. But he found that if he insisted that before they were baptized, they had to adopt all the Jewish religious customs, as the Jewish church was tending to do, things like circumcision, avoiding pork in your diet, and all the food and cleanliness regulations of Judaism, and all those laws and sacrifices, then that was putting a very real obstacle in the way of people from accepting Christ as their Savior. And God gave Saul the wisdom and the insight to overcome all that he'd been taught since childhood, all his training as a rabbi, and to see that these things didn't matter. All that mattered was that people accepted Christ in their hearts. And in this way, Saul first began to develop a mission to the Gentiles. Saul was stepping out onto brand new ground. But way down south, back in Jerusalem, in the heart of Orthodox Judaism, the church was still very much for Jews only. You remember how Peter was very reluctant to visit the Roman centurion Cornelius, because to call on a Gentile would be come in contact with the unclean. But then in a vision, God said to Peter, "Do not call anything that I have made unclean, Peter." And so he went to Cornelius and baptized him and his family and household. So Peter was stepping out too, but a good deal more cautiously than Paul. But despite this, Peter and a great majority of Jewish Christians still believed that to follow Christ, you had first of all to accept the Jewish faith and much of its ritualism. After all, Jesus was the Messiah, yes, but to them he was first and foremost the Messiah to the Jews. We have to remember that Peter and his family lived, as I said, lived in the heart of Jewish orthodoxy, and they were being watched, and it would have been easy to spark off another wave of persecution against them. Now, the persecution of the Christians by the Jewish authorities, Saul and others, resulted in the migration of many believers with their families outwards from Palestine. Many of them settled in a town called Antioch, which was in the north, in Syria, although now the site would be just inside the territory of Turkey. Antioch was a busy commercial town on the trade routes to east and west, and so had a very cosmopolitan population. As such, it was reasonably tolerant. Beliefs existed side by side, and most beliefs were tolerated in Antioch. So the Christian believers gathered together and formed a church which flourished and grew. It's almost certain that Saul made contact with them and taught there. And so the world's first Gentile church was formed in Antioch. It records another first. The Bible tells us that this is the place where believers were first given the title of the Christ people, or the Christians, as we call it today. Understandably, news of the success of this church at Antioch came to the ears of Peter and the other leaders in Jerusalem, and they decided to send someone along to investigate, to see whether they could approve of what was going on. Were the leaders at Antioch teaching true doctrines? And should Jerusalem take over control of this new Gentile church? So they chose a man called Barnabas. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement, the Bible tells us. And he sounded a very reliable sort of chap. And when he joined the church in Jerusalem, he'd sold a piece of land and given the money to the apostles. So there was no doubt in his dedication to the Christian cause. So Barnabas went to Antioch and found a very flourishing church there. He judged it sound in doctrine and fellowship, and he was very pleased with what he saw. And when he heard of Saul's part in the work there, he went off to Tarsus and fetched Saul, and they worked there together in harmony for a whole year. And we're told that they taught great numbers of people, and the church flourished. The news came of a famine in Judea. The church in Jerusalem was suffering. A collection was held, and Saul and Barnabas took the proceeds of this collection to Jerusalem, where it was, of course, greatly appreciated. However, disagreement flared up again between Saul and Peter over the need for Christians to observe the Jewish food laws, an argument that was sadly never finally resolved, although they parted apparently with a handshake. And you can read a detailed account of this debate in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 2. So Saul and Barnabas returned to the flourishing Gentile church at Antioch, and there, while they were worshipping and fasting, the Holy Spirit came powerfully among them, directing that Barnabas and Saul be dedicated for the work of a mission to the Gentiles. And after the ceremony of the laying on of hands by the church elders, Barnabas and Saul then stepped out into the future, out into a totally unknown situation. And in that moment, the Church of Christ ceased to be a small religious cult in the Middle East, centered upon Jerusalem, and became potentially the Church of the world, preaching Christ in every country upon earth, and still growing today, the Church of which we are members today. For Saul and Barnabas were now the apostles to the Gentiles. No longer would people need to adopt the trappings of Jewish law before they become followers of Christ. People needed just to accept Christ's Spirit, to open their hearts to him and let him in, to accept his promises that he would be with them always, Lord and Saviour, guide and strength for life. Accept that, and they would find that it was so. So Barnabas and Saul stepped out, and a new world became possible. They went to the nearest seaport, boarded a ship that took them to Cyprus, and here they made a deep impression even upon the Roman governor, whom we are told believed in the Lord after he heard their message. They made a deep impression also upon the governor's assistant, who was a sorcerer and who tried to interfere with their work. Saul was able to subdue him by the drastic means of making him blind, but we're assured that this was only a temporary measure. It does seem to us a rather unchristian thing to have done, but if he restored his sight, I suppose it wasn't so bad. And we're told that it was here that Saul changed his name. He changed it from his Hebrew name of Saul to the Roman name of Paul, which had a more international flavour, for suitable for an international mission. The Roman governor, in fact, his own name was Sergius Paulus. So Paul and his colleagues now left Cyprus and sailed to the south coast of what we call Turkey, to a town called Pisidium Antioch, not to be confused with the Antioch in Syria. And here they started by preaching in the synagogue, but aroused such fierce opposition from the Jews that, however, they found a keen audience among the Gentiles and set up new communities of Christians in several cities before they returned home to Antioch. And this was the first of Paul's great missions. In later journeys, Paul stepped out even further, crossing over into Europe and sowing the seeds of the faith in the Greek cities of Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, and Athens. And finally, he visited the place he most longed to see, the capital of the empire, Rome itself, although he did so reluctantly as a prisoner. But prisoner or not, he was able to strengthen and encourage the church there. Through Paul's efforts, Europe became a Christian continent, and Rome became the center of the faith rather than Jerusalem. So Paul, through his great spiritual insight and through his tireless and fearless work, changed the whole course of human history. Because of Paul, the Christian gospel is heard today in every country on the continent, on the globe, in fact. Paul did this great work for God because when God called him to action, he didn't sit still and hope that others would do the work. Paul got up and stepped out, and things happened. He went where God was calling him to go and did the work God called him to do. He created the future, and we thank God for all that he did. And down the course of history, many others have heard the call of God, have responded and obeyed, and gone out to do God's work, just as Paul did. Francis of Assisi heard God's call, and he gave up his comfortable life as a nobleman's son to live a life of devoted poverty, stepping out onto the highways and byways of his native Italy to serve the poor, the sick, and the hungry wherever they were. Elizabeth Fry, a genteel English lady, heard God's call, and she went into the filthy, noisy prisons where criminals and convicts were kept in those days, appalling places, and she worked for them to be reformed and cleaned up and made much more humane, and found the prisoners things to do to occupy their time, things that, so whereby they could improve themselves, ready for when they came out of prison again. Another great person who followed Christ's example. And we can think of those who have gone out from this church to serve Christ in the mission field. They too have done great work for him. And he calls each and every one of us to serve him likewise, possibly not by getting up and going abroad somewhere, but here in our church and in our neighborhood, we must strive to do his work to the best of our ability. So let us make every effort to serve him in every aspect of our lives, so that we can say, as Paul said, I step out to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Amen.